him. And for me to eat with the sinners, it's like a woman who found her lost coin, and upon finding it, she was so overjoyed that she invites all her neighbor to come to celebrate with her. For me to eat with the sinners, it's like the father waiting for his son to return home. And when he sees his son, he runs and he embraces him. He invites his neighbor to come to celebrate with him. So Jesus ends the story by saying, so the father and the son, they ate, they drank, and they lived happily ever after. No, it didn't end like that, right? That would be a perfect ending. But Jesus ended the story by saying, I'm not going to tell you the ending right now, right? Jesus says, he did not end the story right there, but he just kept talking. And it's there that the story took a sharp turn. And instead of a happy ending, like what we would want it to be, it was not a very happy ending. So with that in mind, let's read it for ourselves. The story of the older brother of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. If I could have you all stand and let's read this passage together. Luke chapter 15, 25 to 32, verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I just love today's story. I love this passage of the scripture. Some of you know that I have a younger brother. Although people mistaken us as twins, but no, I am 5 years older than him, okay? Some of you know him. I drive a minivan. Let's look at this. I drive a minivan. He rides a motorcycle. I am clean cut and well shaven, but he grows a whatever that is, okay? That's a terrible picture, by the way. I wear a tie and he wears a leather jacket. See, he is the adventurous one. He is the free-spirited one. But I am the responsible one. I am the hard-working one. He may disagree, but my parents, glad he's not here. My parents, they're in Japan, right? So every time I talk to my parents, I Skype them, right? So every time at the end of our conversation, my parents would never fail to remind me, Solomon, you got to check up on your little brother. You got to check up on Chris. You are the pastor, you know. You got to care for him. And it's like, Chris is doing just fine. But, you know, there's something about us older brothers, right? Older brothers that we just come across as if we are more together, right? We're more reliable. And same thing with today's story, okay? There's a distinct contrast between the younger and the older brother. The younger brother, we called him the prodigal son, right? He's the one that's out running with the prostitutes, sleeping with prostitutes. He's the one asking for his inheritance, disobey his parents and all that. And he's the prodigal son. And I'm sure we know people like that right now. Even right now, we know prodigal sons out there, right? They're not even here. They're not at church on Sundays. They're prodigal sons. All right? So on the other hand, the older brother was the good son. He was the obedient one. He's the one that stayed home and worked hard, and he was responsible, and he did all the right things. And I would venture to say that he's kind of like most of us here. We're here on Sundays. We dedicate, set aside time to do the right things. We try to please God. And some of us even grew up in the church. We sing songs like, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And for me, it's like, "I've got peace like a river in my soul." We sing songs like that growing up. And regularly attend church service, know the Bible well, involved with the church, singing, serving, fellowshipping, do all the right things. But there is a danger of those of us who are older brothers in a spiritual sense. What is it? That's the first observation from today's passage, is this. Our goodness masks our issues with God. See, the older brother, he's good. He's a good son, right? But his goodness tend to mask his issues with God. The younger brother has returned home. The father throws a big party, but everybody came except the older brother. And you think he would be so happy that his younger brother has finally returned home. You think that he would be happy because his father was happy, but no, not at all. He was filled with anger. Now that's ironic, because this older brother, he was home, but his heart was not home. This brother was close to his father physically, but his heart was far away from the father. And the point is, sometimes you can be so close to the father and so far from him at the same time. Let me say that again. Sometimes you can be so close to the father, but so far from him at the same time. Or you say, how could that be? How could you be both close to him and distant from him at the same time? Well, look at this passage. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Even though you have been with me for so long, you should know me by now, but you don't know me. You don't have intimate relationship with me." Matthew 7, 22. Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles.' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" See, these people, they felt so close to God. They were doing things in the name of Jesus. But Jesus says, "I don't even know you. Who are you? Away from me, evil doers." See, you can be so involved with the Father's business and affairs, but so not involved with the Father himself. And that's why it's so dangerous that the older brothers, spiritually speaking, that it's very dangerous, because we can look so good on the outside. We come to church with the Bible in our hands. You know, everything can look right, and we could do all the right things, but sometimes our heart can be dying. Our hearts are so empty and thirsty and just drying up, even though outside we look so good. And that's, let me show you two scenarios. Let's say that something terrible happened today. You are dying from a gunshot wound. It's terrible. It's terrible. Blood everywhere. Blood gushing out. And people saw you. They're like, "Oh no, this is terrible. What happened to you?" And you cry for help. "Help me, help me. Blood everywhere." People call 911. Ambulance come. And they rush you to the hospital. And you are in critical condition. But it's okay, because now you have hope, because you are in good hands. You have professional help. The other scenario, you get bitten by a spider, a black widow. And you go, "Hey, what was that? What was that?" And then you hardly felt it, right? Just a bite. And so you kept doing what you're doing. You have lunch after church. You socialize a little bit. And then you rush home to watch French Open that you recorded earlier, like I did this morning. Or some of you may not do that. Some of you may just rush home and you're tired. You want to take an afternoon nap. And you die in your sleep. See, when you're the younger brother, everybody knows it, right? Everybody knows because you're out there, you're partying, and you're spending your inheritance, and you're disobedient, and everybody knows you, and you're sleeping with the prostitutes. But when you're the older brother, nobody knows. When you're the older brother, you have a Bible in your hand. You look good and you smell good. And nobody could tell that anything was going wrong. Even though there's a fire burning inside of you, they don't see the smoke. They don't know. And nobody saw it coming. And that's why I entitled today's message, The Not So Obvious Prodigal. Because there are actually two prodigals in today's story. One very obvious, one not so obvious. One of them's younger brother, the prodigal son. The other one, the not so obvious prodigal son. And that's why we need to be very careful to examine the signs, the tendencies of the older brother in our lives. What are they? Three of them from today's passage. The first sign of the older brother is this: a complaining spirit towards God. An angry, complaining spirit towards God. Verse 28. It says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. He said, you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Do you sense just the bitterness, the anger, the complaining spirit? He's not happy. He's not happy with the father. You think he's angry with the younger brother, his younger brother. But no, he was angry with the father. He's saying, what is this? He says, what are you doing? He says, you give him a fattened calf, and what have you given me? What are you doing? He is not happy with the way the father is running the show. Today, if you are an older brother, don't be surprised if you find yourself complaining, venting all the time. You're not happy. You're not happy about church. You're not happy about fellowship. You're not happy about people. You're not happy about life. You complain about life. But what you're really complaining is you're complaining against God. You are not happy with how God is running this show in your life. You are an older brother. That's the first sign, a complaining spirit. The second sign of an older brother is this: a dreadful attitude toward obedience. Verse 29, the older brother says, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat. Question, where is the joy in serving the father here, right? The older brother, he was so close to the father. He was serving the father. But where's the joy? There is no joy here. Why did he serve the father? Why was he obeying? He says, all these years, I never disobey you. Why did he obey? Why did he obey anyway? Could it be that his motive was not simply to be with the father, but to get something from the father? And the father did not give him, when the father did not give him something, he flipped out. He was angry. Outwardly, he obeys. He complies. He acts like a good son, but inwardly, he hates it. He despised the job that he had to do. Christian life to the older brother is a chore. Christian life has no joy. They're doing things because they have to. Some of us do things because nobody's doing it. Somebody's got to do the dirty job. See, why was there no joy? Because the source of his joy is not in God. The source of his joy is in what God could do for him. He was always waiting for God to do something for him. He was not doing it because he loved God. It dawned on us, my wife and I, recently that our girls, four of them, they did not speak much Chinese. So we thought, boy, we got to do something about this. So we've been trying, but it didn't work. But so recently we thought of, my wife came up with a brilliant idea. I wasn't there. That she decided to give them money whenever they would speak a full sentence in Mandarin. She decided to give them my money. That's what happened. So anyway, so one day I went home and our kids are running around and they're saying, "Wa'aini, wa'aini, wa'aini." Like, they're just, and I was just like, this is awesome. What happened to you girls? You know, this is, and then I found out what happened. So I start teaching them, no, don't say that. Don't say, "Daddy, 我真的爱你." Like, what? No, Daddy, I really, you know, not the money, but I really love you. I really love you. Sometimes you have to wonder, you know, we sing songs and we tell God, "Yeah, God, I love you," and all that. But you have to wonder, though, you know, God's like, I don't know. Are you really for real? Do you really love me for me or the things that I could do for you? And that's the older brother tendency, attitude. He was in it because he was after what God, his father, could do for him. Sometimes it's not so much what we do for God, but why we do what we do. That's important. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Look at this verse. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver." Here it says, it does not say that God loves a giver. No, it says God loves a cheerful giver. God was looking at the heart. God's looking at the motivation, why we do what we do. David, in Psalm chapter 1, said this about a man who was blessed, the man of God, his attitude towards God, the law of God. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is where? Where does he find joy in? In the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night." He says, the blessed man, the man of God says, "God, I just love you and I love your laws. I love your commands. They are great. They are awesome. They are the real thing. They're the source of life." You know, the older brother, he can never say that. He was obeying because he was getting something from his father. May we not be like the older brother. I know that all of us serve God in one way or another. You're here today. That's a fact of you doing something for the Lord. And I pray that the Spirit would examine our hearts, that everything we do for God, we do it not because we have to, not because, oh, it's our Christian duty, but we do it because we love Him and He loves us. Amen? So, number three, the third attitude of an older brother is this: a judgmental spirit toward others. He is critical. He is judgmental towards others. Verse 29 to 30. He said, "Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed the fattened calf for him." Notice how he addressed his younger brother who has returned home. He said, what did he say? "This son of yours." He did not say, "Oh, my brother, my dear brother, Chris, he is finally home." No, he didn't say that. He said, "This son of yours." See, he did not even want to associate himself with his wayward brother. His brother returned home with broken heart, repentant spirit, But he says, no, I don't even want to be with him. He does not forgive him. He does not accept his younger brother. Condescending attitude towards others. The reason why he is so critical towards his younger brother was because he was proud of his good works. He felt like, I've done so much good things for the father, but you, the younger brother, you've done nothing. Compared to me, you've done nothing. Compared to you, I am so good. And because I've done so much for the father, I've done so much, I deserve more. You don't deserve anything. See, what kind of spirit is that? The Bible has a word for that, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. We think we are so much better because of the good works that we do for God. And may I suggest that while all of us want more people to come to the Lord, we want people to come to church, but if we, as long as we have this self-righteousness attitude in our church, in our lives, people will never come. Because sinners, when they come to church, people who are apart from God, when they come to church and they meet the older brothers, it will drive them away. Because we are not going to accept them for who they are. We're not going to extend mercy to them. We're not going to forgive them for what they've done. And they will not come back. We will judge them. We will never accept them. So what is the cure for all of us older brothers? Number three. Look at 28, verse 28. The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Verse 29. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Verse 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. How does the older brother see his relationship with the father? Look at this verse. How does the older brother view his relationship with the father? It's a relationship between master and slaves, right? Look at it. He says, I've been slaving for you all my life. Slaving is not something sons do. Some of you are like, that's not true. No. Okay, slaving is not what sons do. Slaving is what slaves do, right? But how does the father want the son to see their relationship? Verse 31. The father says, my son, see? Commentaries tell us that word, my son, there, it was used for something very intimate in the Bible. In a way, the father is saying, my dear child, my precious child. In John, 1 John, that's the word, precious children. It's a very intimate word that describes intimacy. So this is the cure, the answer, the remedy for us older brothers. See God as the loving father and see yourself as his beloved child. That's the cure. That's how God wants us to see our relationship with him. What amazes me about today's story is that the older brother thought that he was doing a favor for his father. He said, look at what I've done for you. He says, look at, oh, I look at the story of the older brother and I thought, you know, I hope and pray that when I see the Heavenly Father one day, when I see Jesus, I would not say, look at what I've done for you all my life. Right? Just like the older brother. See, he thought he was doing his father a favor when in reality, the father never needed his help. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 25. And he is not, God, it's talking about God. And God is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. I like that. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. See, he never needed anything from us. He never needed our service. And if we want to dishonor God, we serve him with the attitude of, he needed us. God, I'm doing this for you because I guess you need my help. If you want to honor him, dishonor him, do it with that attitude, because God doesn't need us to serve him. But what does that mean? If God doesn't need us to serve him, what does that mean we don't need to serve anymore? That means nobody's going to lead worship anymore. Nobody's going to play piano. Nobody's going to type bulletin. Nobody would do a thing. I believe that if our relationship is real with God, if we have an intimate relationship with God, if we see ourselves as his beloved children and we see him as our Heavenly Father, what happens is we can't help it. But we want to serve God. We want to do something for God. We want to make a difference for God's kingdom. We can't help it. We want to do it. We want to live our lives for him. Remember at the beginning of the sermon, I told you that this story does not have a good ending, and I want to show you why I said that. Let's compare the two stories of the younger brother and the older brother. Let's look at this carefully. The first paragraph describes the younger brother, and the second paragraph describes the older brother. So look at how the first paragraph ended. Verse 24, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Okay? So that's the ending. And let's look at the ending of the older brother, verse 31. "Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And if you look at it carefully, it's kind of a parallel. And that's, I guess that's how Hebrews, how they pin, their writing is all about parallels. They would mention something and they would mention something on the other hand. And so this story ended with the younger brother, kind of that he was lost and is found. And then the older brother, the father said, and he was lost and is found. It's all parallel. But if you look at it carefully, there's something different. The younger brother, how it ended was so they began to celebrate. That's the ending. Meaning, the younger brother was in the father's presence. And he was dancing, and he was celebrating, and he was eating, and he was fellowshipping with the father. It's a beautiful ending. But if you look at the older brother, what's the ending? "Because his brother of yours..." This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so what did the older brother do? It doesn't say. There's no ending. See, we're not Hebrew people. We're not Jewish people. So when we read this, we're like, okay, next verse. But the Jewish readers, they're reading this like, they're like, wait. So what happened? They're waiting for that parallel to take place. But there is no ending. But you know what? The Bible tells us the ending. Because if you continue to read the pages, you would see the ending of the older brother. Jesus told this story to tell the Pharisees, you are just like that older brother. So the older brother was, in a way, talking about the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. Now, from the pages of the Bible, we read that they never repented, right? The older brothers, the Jewish leaders, they never softened their heart. They never said, God, you're right. Jesus, you are the Messiah. And they never said that. In fact, they hardened their hearts. Today, we could choose our own ending. We could either be like the older brother, continue to be like the older brother, continue to be angry at God, continue to complain towards God, continue to have a judgmental spirit towards others, and continue to serve God, but with the attitude of, we're doing it because we have to, not because we love God. We could stay out in the field just like the older brother who refused to go in to celebrate with his father. Or we could be like the younger brother. We could repent. Even though we were far from the Father, we could repent. We could say, God, I was wrong. God, I should have known better. God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I want to be in your presence. Help me to humble myself. And I love the response of the father when the older brother refused to come in. Look at what happened, verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out. And look at what he said. Look at what the father said. He said to him, you better get yourself out in here and you better have a smile on your face. No, that's not what he said. That's what a lot of our fathers would say. No, he says, he went out and he pleaded with him. He pleaded with him. He says, come on, son, come in. He says, son, I love you. Everything I have is yours. Right? The heart of the father loving his child. And today, my prayer is that all of us here, we would hear the pleading of the father calling out to us, come, come home, son. Come in. Come into my house and celebrate and rejoice with me. Would you come in? Would you come in? Would you come in and celebrate with the father? I hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you because if we're honest, we are all older brothers at heart. Lord, there's always that self-righteousness attitude that we have. Lord, all of us complain. All of us serve you, but not because we truly love you, but a lot of times it's because we want something from you. We're waiting for you to do that something to fulfill our desires, to answer our prayers. Heavenly Father, how we need to be reminded that, Lord, you truly love us. You love us so much. There's nothing that we can do to change your love for us. And that we need to see ourselves as your precious children. Heavenly Father, help us soften our hearts. Help us not to continue to be an older brother, to be cool, to be cold towards you. But help us soften our hearts, break our hearts. Help us to repent and to run back into your arms and enjoy your presence. Would you help us to do that? Thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can we stand to sing the response song? If you know the words, just continue to close your eyes and just continue to meditate on them. Meditate on what we just heard. This powerful message. His love, think about his mercy, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his love. Think about his mercy. Think about